and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Radio AM. Today is Thursday, January 25th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today, we're going to be talking about things that are trending, which is in the news. So, what is trending is the Prime Minister and his bail act, and I'm going to be interrogating it, talking about it. I have one or two more topics I wanted to discuss. Erin Green is downstairs walking her guests, and I sent her some information I wanted to read into the record so I can analyze. So we'll do that later. I have a running joke that I'm laughing at, smiling, because I'm late because I was downstairs hiding. I was hiding from Miss Veronique Toot, actually. I've been here for 2 years now, 2 years hosting this show. Yeah, like a year and a half, three quarters there about. And for Veronique is back to The Guardian. And for several months, she has seen me downstairs. And she said, "Hey, Veronique." And she said, "Hey, you're here again." I said, "Yeah, man, I'm here every day. I come here to eat lunch." So for the past 2-3 months, she said, "You're here again?" I said, "Yeah, I just come in the lobby and just eat lunch and then I go home." So every day she comes and is puzzled. Why is C.A. Nuri here at Guardian Radio at 11 o'clock just to eat lunch? She doesn't know I have the number one talk show on Guardian Radio. Everybody knows C.A. Nuri. And the lady have no clue who C.A. Nuri is and that I have up my old talk show and I have come on the air and people's called me and talk. No clue. She just bewildered, say, "Why is C.A. here eating hot patty early in the morning every day? Just idle. He don't work." But I do work. That's the second job. Every Jamaican has two jobs, eh? So this is my second job. But Erin Green is back with me. Let me read this into the record so we can start and have her read some things out in the news. Let me read this. It says, "Scotia Bank invites you to help them bring big energy for Junior Junkanoo. Follow their Instagram page, Scotia Bank of Bahamas, as they visit participating schools to get our youngsters hyped and ready for the big parade on Thursday, which is today, January 25th. Once you log on to the page, hit the follow button and like pics from the school tour. Come out to watch the Junior Junkanoo Parade from 6 p.m. this Thursday and use the Scotiabank IG page to vote for your favorite school as they show up and show out. Feel the energy, celebrate the vibe of Junior Junkanoo. Scotiabank, official bank of Junior Junkanoo." You think they can have any of your, what that money you use for some central bank?
Sand dollar, you mean Bahamian digital dollar? Sand dollar?
Will Junior Junkanoo have any of the sand dollar?
Will any of the vendors out there?
I don't know.
I would, if I were a vendor, I would attempt to have sand dollar. As many payment options as possible. Hmm. As many ways as you could pay me as possible, I can have all of them ways available for you to pay me. Hmm. Give me your money.
True. Do you know, Erin, that some people believe I do not work? I mean, really, they say...
I don't understand, because at the very least, you wake on people's knives.
At least that, right? I mean, they say, does Nuri work? I work all, like, 3, 4, 5 jobs.
Yeah.
I'm always busy.
I mean, you're a fisherman. You stay baiting people.
I'm always baiting people, eh?
Right.
And when I work, and I write.
Yeah.
I write a lot.
Absolutely.
And when I write, and I research, eh?
I mean, you do write a lot. Poetry. Amateur historian, family trees and genealogy studies. I say amateur historian, poetry, creative writing, nonfiction as well, social commentary.
No, but how long do you think I could bait Miss Veronique? You see me hiding, trying to make sure she don't see me coming upstairs. I explained why I have a key.
I think the gig is up.
Don't worry, she don't listen to this. She didn't listen to this, she'll know I have a talk show. But anyway, we are talking about a number of trending topics, but I want to talk about this bail act or the suggestion or improvement. It's a bill right now, right? It's not like it's passed or
anything. In fact, it's just an announcement.
It's just an announcement. It's not even a bill yet.
Well, I've seen a document. I thought I saw a document being passed around, but I think at this point
it might be the speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is not in effect yet. It can be, take some time, maybe even some years. You know what is a bill that I forgot? The Urban Renewal Bill. That was like almost 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was debated and then gone quiet. You know who declared or read the first reading of that Urban Renewal Bill?
Who?
The Prime Minister.
The current one?
Yeah, the current one.
When he was deputy?
Yeah, when he was there.
I mean, he was the deputy leader of the party?
Yeah, and nothing. When he was National Insurance Minister, and then silence. So I'm thinking, boy, history. History repeated itself. Everybody excited. Everybody excited to say, oh, finally, something's going to be done. And I said, "Lo, I have a long memory."
Well, something will be done.
What's going to be done?
A committee will be established to explore.
Then maybe a subcommittee to explore that committee also?
Well, to explore the things that the main committee thinks need exploration.
That happened during another administration.
All?
Yeah.
Every single one.
Well, let's read in the records today. You have those articles.
Okay, so we're talking about the Prime Minister's announcement yesterday in The Guardian. The headline was, "Davis announces amendments to Bail Act." As a part of the government's strategy to combat crime, PM Philip Davis announced today that the Bail Act will be amended to ensure that bail is automatically revoked for suspects who violate the conditions of their bail. Quote, "I'm also announcing significant amendments to the Bail Act," Davis said in the House of Assembly as he presented a communication on crime. Quote, "Bail is a constitutional right, but not a right to be abused. There is a fundamental right to be presumed innocent, but the liberty that accompanies that presumption is not absolute, especially when someone poses a danger to society and to themselves. Our amendment will ensure that bail is automatically revoked to those accused persons who commit offenses while on bail. This includes those found to be in violation of the conditions of their bail, which is an offense under the amendment. Multiple people on bail for serious crimes have either been murdered or have been accused of committing other serious crimes. So far this year, 17 people have been murdered. Last week, the government released a five-pillar plan to fight crime, which includes measures like tougher legislation for gang activity and a focus on school policing. Davis said that Bahamians should expect to see more saturation patrols. Quote, "This is a fight that we have to win," he added.
Can we pause there? Like I said, there are several initiatives the Prime Minister is suggesting.
But also, I want to stick a pin because there is a response from the legal community.
I see Ms. Galanos. Ms. Galanos first. Christina Galanos had something inside the paper too. And we can read that too in the record. But I want to say that there are 17 initiatives that the Prime Minister wants to impose. Already there has been challenges to all, right? When I say to all, in terms of the gang legislation that he's proposing.
How to create effective legislation that doesn't contravene the Constitution.
Yes, and we see that even his own side, members of Parliament, has raised concerns that we need to tighten up certain things, so they'd like to see what that is. And now we see the suggested amendments for the Bail Act and has already been challenged by a number of persons in the legal fraternity. Mm-hmm. I'd like to remind those people in the legal fraternity that this is a Casey. This ain't no ordinary lawyer they're dealing with. Our Prime Minister is a King's Counsel. All these jabroni lawyers, I see one challenge our cases in terms of how to interpret the law and like what he knows or what he doesn't know. I don't feel comfortable with it.
But if it were another Casey challenging...
I might feel more comfortable.
See, because the Casey have two Casey's, right?
Yes.
He got a Casey and he have a Casey.
Yes.
But these other Casey's only have one Casey.
Yes.
But would you be comfortable with another lawyer who is also a Casey challenging?
Yes.
Okay.
Not youthful jabroni lawyers, right? How dare they challenge our Prime Minister who is a Casey, who has experience, who knows better, who knows what the law is and has experience enough to say, hey, this is how I'm going to do it.
You going to take this call or you want me? Or can I read from
read
the next
that
article?
First. Read that okay. next article first.
Not so fast. Lawyers say Parliament can't scrap bail. Not so fast. Lawyers say Parliament can't scrap bail. This
what,
is
what do you mean can't? We just did.
No, we didn't just do anything. The Prime Minister made an announcement.
That he plans to.
That he hopes to.
He ain't hoping
that
to
he
that
hopes it is possible to do that. See, because he could say he plans to, but that's limited by the scope he is able to operate in, which is defined by constitutional terms.
You two seem to be challenging the Casey.
I don't like the tone.
No, I couldn't be. See,
I don't like your tone.
I couldn't be challenging the Casey because I'm not a Casey.
And I see that. I don't like the tone. I don't like the tone that you're trying to say. The good gentleman is a Casey. We got to expect the King's Counsel position. I don't like your tone. But I can let you read. Like, don't let these jabroni lawyers run you up on bricks. We're dealing with a Casey there.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. A double Casey. Casey squared.
Yes.
Defense lawyers said the amendments to the Bail Act Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis announced in the House of Assembly yesterday in response to the soaring murder rate will not significantly change the status quo or affect Supreme Court judges' discretion to grant bail. Mr. Davis said the amendment would ensure bail is automatically revoked for people who violate their bail conditions. His announcement came less than 2 weeks after Attorney General Ryan Pinder told reporters the Bail Act did not need to be amended. The Attorney General said...
I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with the Attorney General challenging the Prime Minister either. Anyway, go ahead. No, you continue. I just when I hear it, I just get a little defensive of my Prime Minister, and that's why I had to interrupt you. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
The Attorney General had said there's adequate protection and adequate ability for the judiciary to deny bail in certain instances, Mr. Pinder told reporters earlier this year. Magistrates can currently punish people who violate their bail conditions by fining them, as they often do, even when those people are accused of serious crimes, such as like murder. However, lawyers say this may merely... Okay, the amendment would remove this option and force magistrates to remand the accused. However, lawyers say this may merely delay bail grants because it won't stop accused people from applying to the Supreme Court, where the judges can use their discretion to release them. Quote, the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court to admit persons to bail derives from its common law jurisdiction. It cannot be taken away by Parliament, Attorney David Cash said yesterday. Quote, when it comes to committing offenses whilst on bail, this must mean convictions and not mere charges, as the presumption of innocence must apply to each new charge.
Madness. There gotta be madness, because my Casey would have known that. He has enough experience to know that beforehand. And I see how you're trying to twist and manipulate the Casey words. And I'm not comfortable with it. Like I said, I don't like people challenging the Prime Minister who I know is a learned man, right? I see that the words are similar to the Chief Justice, and I see the words are similar to the Attorney General, but I still say our Prime Minister wouldn't have said it if it was impossible. That's what I maintain. I see we're going to go to the caller now, but I maintain that as such, and I see you looking at me.
I just wanted to ask, isn't the Attorney General a Casey, though?
Okay, he could challenge that. He could challenge.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, ma'am.
Go ahead. Good morning.
Yes, Mr. Nuri. Now, first of all, unlike Antoine, who have 4 and 5 different comments and a closing statement, I just have 2 comments. First of all, Ms. Green, I would like to say I heard some disturbing news, and I mentioned it on Dwight's show, that a lady this morning going out on a morning exercise went round through the back by Edmund Moxley Park, which is so beautiful lit up at night. The baseball stadium is lit up at night. The Thomas A. Robinson Stadium is lit up at night. Who paying the light bill, I don't know. But the lady says she was going on a morning walk through the track road round by Edmund Moxley Park this morning. And she was so astonished, she heard some chanting and some singing going on.
They have a Baptist group. They have a Baptist. Hello. They have a Baptist group who goes there every morning. I'm just telling you who's meet there every morning. There's a church group that goes there and pray. I'm not sure if she's saying that they shouldn't pray, but it's a church group.
No. It's not. She's saying nobody was praying. This is not at the park.
This is
round in the bushes behind the park.
There is no bushes in the park. There's no bushes.
She found out that they were building a shanty town in the back there.
There's no bushes in the park. All that's lake and water.
No. In the back, behind the park, between the golf course and everything, and behind the Yellow Elder Primary School, there's a bunch of bushes. She said she witnessed They're building a shanty town there.
Oh, so that's not the park
now,
then. That's
now
by the yellow other place.
My comment, Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead.
You don't have the best talk show.
Who has the best talk show?
Don't worry. He didn't press the button. I pressed the button.
Who has the best talk show?
Sparky, that's inappropriate.
No. I want to know who has the best talk show. That's what I'm talking about. Who the best talk show? That's me.
If it ain't you, who
it gotta
is?
Be you.
It ain't me.
It ain't me.
It ain't me.
Don't watch. I have the best talk show.
If it ain't you,
you know how
it
much
gotta be Dwight or it gotta be Howard or it gotta be
I top Dwight now.
Naughty or it gotta be Zhivago Lang.
I top all of them. The CNR show. You know how much people stop me now and say, use that voice? I CNR. I don't pay for things. Dwight and them still pay. Howard is still pay for things. I get things for free. These leave things for me at the Guardian desk. This for C.A. Nuri. I scare free tigs.
They leave things for me on the ground by the tree.
Because you're not as popular as me.
They come out and tell the sing to the tree, and the tree has just dropped the fruit for me. Good
until
morning.
Tell Dwight get free pears from Sparky. He can't be the most popular fruit.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
How
are
you?
Good morning, C.A. Nuri.
Good morning. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Bahamas. I hear you all talking about the best talk show. But
that's
I think my boy, Rodney, is the worst one. But let's digress from that. Aaron,
yes,
first
sir.
Of all,
yes, sir.
Sparky, y'all was talking to him just now, because he called in again, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yesterday when he basically commented with you.
Yes, sir.
And remember, I commented and said he needs to start being sarcastic.
Yes.
But
yeah.
And... well, I can accept that. So my name can be from now on Tiresias, okay?
Okay.
Thanks to Sparky, but I don't want him to get offended because I feel he was trying to be a little cute and smart with you then.
Yes, sir.
Right. Now, with reference to this amendment with the Prime Minister.
Yes, sir.
And him, you say, you know, you said he's a KC.
Yes, sir.
And he should know the law. Well and fine. Well, Christina Galanis won a case before the Privy Council in 2022 with February Point Development and Dr. Malik Mohman in Exoma,
mm-hmm.
just in 2022. You all aware of that?
Yes.
You were very much aware of that?
Yes.
Okay, and she referred to, that has to do with the Immovable Properties Act and the Private Road and Subdivision Rhode Island Act, and she won that case. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Section 5.1 of the Immovable Properties Act and Section 3, Section 4, and Section 9 of the Private Road and Subdivision Rhode Island Act. But Nuri, that's your Prime Minister, and, you know, he's a KC.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, he need to get it right because, Aaron, as you know, I'm still trying to get him and his whole cabinet with 13 lawyers to the situation straight with the same law.
That's what
the
I said.
Same laws.
Aaron,
for my case.
Aaron recommended what you do need to do for the last time. He said, hire yourself. You go call Christian Galanos now.
Yeah.
Hire yourself a lawyer and get that dealt with.
Yeah.
But let's continue.
Put pressure on it.
Let's continue. Go ahead. Before they call me in.
We're continuing to read from the article, Not So Fast Lawyers Say Parliament Can't Scrap Bail. I'm just going to repeat what we read. The jurisdiction of the Supreme Court to admit persons to bail derives from its common law jurisdiction.
Yes.
And since its power was not given by Parliament, it cannot be taken away by Parliament, Attorney David Cash said yesterday.
Let's pause there. And let's interrogate that. Let's analyze that. Let's see what that means. Because that is a direct challenge. That's questioning the a KC's interpretation of the law.
Don't call it a challenge, though.
Because you don't call it a challenge?
No.
What you would call that?
Don't call it a challenge.
I wonder what you would call it.
An attempt to interpret the law.
That's See, called a challenge.
No, he's saying things that the Prime Minister didn't say. See, the Prime Minister could say the same thing. What I'm going to say to you is that perhaps he's right. The Parliament didn't create the power, right, Bill? They can't take it away, but Parliament can write laws, right? Those laws may limit. Okay, first of all, you have the right to bail.
Yes.
Right? The government can limit rights for the purpose of good governance, national security, public safety,
yes,
among other reasons, right?
That's what the Chief Justice and the Attorney General mentioned earlier, yes.
Right. So, the legislature can create laws that limit that right for the purpose of national security, for the purpose of good governance, for the purpose of public safety.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those provisions may contravene the Constitution. But you still have to then take that amendment, take those provisions before the court and ask for a review and say, we request that you review this because we believe it is in contradiction with the Constitution and thus should be struck down as bad law, right? So they can create the limitations, mm-hmm. but until somebody challenges it and takes it before a court.
Wait, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say that a bad law can be created even if the people know that it's a bad law. They see, that's my concern. If before you create the law, you know that this is unconstitutional in your mind, right? You already know it. Why do that to the Bahamian people? Well, just to say, I want you to challenge it. If you're bad, you're challenging.
You're not going to go and say unconstitutional. You attempt to interpret the law in a way that it's in favor of the policy you want to implement. So you look for an interpretation of the law, right, that is helpful, that will allow you to implement the policy that you want. But the point is whether it is intentional, whether you knew it was bad law when you created it or you didn't know, whether it's bad law in nature or it turns out, it's bad law in effect, right? You can go and challenge it, but it has to be challenged because each law, it says this law is presumed to be in line with the Constitution until it is shown not to be in line with the Constitution.
Perhaps in the future, we need to have a show on how to challenge laws. I think they call it judicial review.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, didn't we have a price for that with Fred Smith? And he says there's a price tag that comes to judicial reviews.
Isn't some like, I presume, and I could be incorrect, $250,000? Something like that? That's how much it costs to start? Or you have to have a surety that you have that much money?
Imagine if it is that much, because I don't know. But even though I heard that number too, but imagine if that is the case, how many lawyers you know, how many Bahamians you know, have that spare money or surety to say, man, this law is unconstitutional. This goes against the grain of what it is for the Bahamas.
We know that the average person doesn't have the, what, $50,000 if it's increased to go to the Court of Appeal. Right? And so...
So you see my concern when I talk about bad laws. So you intentionally, if you intentionally put in a bad law, saying, but no,
knowing the difficulty with which, the difficulty surrounding launching a challenge is problematic, right?
That's my point.
Let's explore some more the history of this. So the Prime Minister made an announcement yesterday. You can find this document on the website for the Office of the Prime Minister.
And before you go on, you need to say the Prime Minister's name with his title. The Honorable Philip Davis, Casey. Let you continue.
Casey. Okay. I mean, I appreciate the point that you're making. Yes. I'm just reading from
just
the...
Just making sure you mentioned that he's a Casey.
Yeah, okay. Just here's the statement from the Office of the Prime Minister's page. Prime Minister Davis's communication to the House of Assembly on crime and the amendment to the Bail Act.
Yes.
Today, I am tabling our government's strategy called Crackdown 2024, Building Safer Communities. Stick a pin.
Mm-hmm.
You can find that, again, on the Office of the Prime Minister's website. I won't get into it right now. I want to go back in time to 2019, the 19th of December 2019, to a Guardian article titled Government to Amend Bail Act. Remember, we are in 2019. This is 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A bill to amend the Bail Act, if passed, would allow magistrates to grant bail in various drug and firearm-related offenses that they are unable to now.
Mm-hmm.
The Bail Amendment Bill 2019 was tabled in the House of Assembly yesterday. That would have been the 18th of December 2019. According to the bill, it would allow a magistrate to grant bail for the possession of prohibited weapons and ammunition, unlawful shortening of guns, any offense mentioned in the third schedule to the Criminal Procedure Code, unlawful possession of a revolver, unlawful possession of a firearm or ammunition, unlawful possession of a firearm or ammunition with an intent to supply, unlawful possession of a gun and assault with a deadly or dangerous instrument or means. It would also allow a magistrate to grant bail for the possession of dangerous drugs with intent to supply. A 2011 amendment to the Bail Act removed magistrates' authority to grant bail for murder, armed robbery, rape, attempted murder, possession of firearms designed to discharge, and a number of other charges, and a number of other offenses under the Sexual Offenses Act.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so in 2019, the bill was tabled, and I think it was passed, to allow magistrates to grant bail in those matters. And that occurred because a 2011 Amendment Bail Act removed. So in 2011, well, prior to 2011, magistrates had the power to grant bail in those matters. In that 2011 Act, that authority was removed from magistrates. It was in 2019 Bail Amendment Bill that that authority was returned to magistrates.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking about a bill that limits in some ways the magistrate's ability to grant bail.
Let's do some history.
Right.
Reform. I remember when the bail was taken from the magistrates before, and the number of legal fraternities, of the fraternity, got upset, and it took some effort to get that authority, because the laws was changed, and get that authority back. Do you remember who changed the law? So we can have a narrative on which political entity is changing it back and forth, so we can understand who is it we should be watching.
So you're asking, is this policy decision based in a party philosophy? So
yes.
When one administration comes in, they give the magistrate the authority, and when another administration comes in, they take the authority away, and you want to determine whether there's a record of that.
Yes, and I was young then, so I didn't pay no attention then. But perhaps that too must be investigated. Who is taking away the authority from the magistrate?
Mm-hmm.
Is it both parties, or is it a particular administration or a particular party that has a history
right.
of and, doing such?
And should we then expect a narrative, a policy statement from that party? Tell us right now what your position is on these matters.
Yes.
On matters of bail, on matters of jurisprudence around dangerous offenses. I mean, I think that would be reasonable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, we're reading from a 2019 article, the 19th of December, 2019, Government to Amend Bail Act. This is not the first time that we've had this conversation. What I'm a little concerned about is that in the Davis Announces Amendments to Bail Act article from yesterday's Guardian and the statement from the Prime Minister, I don't see the Prime Minister iterating, sharing that history.
No.
This would have been a great opportunity to walk us through the jurisprudence, right?
But nobody asked for the history, though.
I shouldn't. See, this is the point I'm making, Mr. Newry, and perhaps this may give you insight into why I forget to call him honorable, not the honorable part, but the KC part,
mm-hmm.
because I shouldn't have to ask.
Mm.
A KC should understand the need to lay out the progression of the law so people could understand what he's saying in the immediate moment and understand the debate that's up in the ensuing debate. That's what we should expect from anybody with KC after their name, unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes. I just want to mention that we have three KCs in the Honorable House. Three? One, two, three. Yes. That's the Honorable AG, the Honorable National Security Minister, and the Honorable Prime Minister. These are senior lawyers who knows the law back and forth.
I think the real problem or the real concern is, are there any KCs in the upper house? which is supposed to be reserved for senior statesmen with the experience necessary to provide oversight in the decision-making process.
Interesting. I have a text says, good morning. What tangible things is the government or courts doing to address the backlog of cases? We must stop talking and do something. But they're doing something. They plan to do swift justice again and implement swift justice, meaning that they're going to have a particular courts for particular things, a gun court, a child's court, a children's court, whatever.
Those creating new courts concern me greatly. I'm not even a lawyer, and the question of creating courts.
Why not?
Because it's a very particular legal issue, and we've attempted it before. It's been attempted in the region before, mm-hmm. in jurisdictions with similar legal systems and jurisprudence, and it's extremely tricky. But, however, the Prime Minister Casey's statement on crime yesterday does address a number, a lot. There's far more information. That breaking news you made me read yesterday, mm-hmm. and I said I needed 20 more words.
Yes.
The words are in the statement. So if I could read for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start. This is not the full statement. Today I'm tabling our government strategy called Crackdown 2024, Building Safer Communities. Madam Speaker, the five pillars strategy, prevention, policing, prosecution, punishment, and rehabilitation forms the backbone of our approach. It covers the full life cycle of criminal behavior. To truly combat crime, we must not only enforce the law, but also address the underlying causes that lead individuals down the path of criminality. In line with our commitment to strengthen the rule of law and to ensure justice, today I am also announcing a significant amendment. So we got the amendment to the Bail Act. Our amendment will ensure that bail is automatically revoked for those accused persons who commit offenses while on bail. We are expanding school policing, placing more trained officers in schools. Our clear hold and build strategy is a robust approach to dismantling gang presence in our neighborhoods. We're expanding saturation patrols, advanced facial recognition CCTV systems, strengthening regional cooperation. Community policing is another crucial tactic. We are also investing in communication centers, enhancing witness support, and this is something that maybe I am totally unfamiliar with, utilizing unexplained wealth orders to target the financial underpinnings of criminal activities. First of all, I didn't know we had unexplained wealth orders. And since you say you want to utilize them to target the financial underpinnings of criminal activities, we can't use them unexplained wealth. I mean, when you get the unexplained wealth, we can't put them in the school. Can we put them in the school? I want to know, what have you been using the unexplained wealth for since you have unexplained wealth orders? Furthermore, our focus on bolstering the confidential informant fund and constructing a national forensic laboratory will enhance our investigative capabilities. In addressing gang involvement in illegal firearms possession, we are evaluating and strengthening our legal framework to ensure that penalties are sufficiently stringent to act as effective deterrents. By enhancing our strategy against crime, we are building upon a series of robust measures already in place. These include significant recruitment efforts, targeted saturation patrols, and the acquisition of advanced resources to aid our law enforcement. We've also established specialized units, notably the anti-gang and gun unit and the domestic violence unit. So, Texter, it may not have addressed the question directly, but we hope that if these initiatives can run collaboratively and effectively, that we will begin to see a reduction in the backlog of cases. I just want to say quickly, you didn't bat an eyelid when I said the acquisition of advanced resources.
I wrote it down.
Okay. I want to know, what's more advanced than drones?
I wrote it down for you to interrogate regarding improving on CCTV and that advancement at the same time. As, do we have CCTVs and do they work?
We do have CCTV.
And I'm just being flippant with that question, right?
Right.
But because I've never seen it like put on, like, yeah, I'm here, so I'm seeing some footage from the CCTV.
No, I have seen footage from CCTV cameras. I think that's what they are.
That's a private entity camera that you saw at a junction from a well-established place.
You know what? I don't know why you said that, because I think there was an accident and it was in a commercial district.
Go back to have you ever seen CCTV?
Now, footage? I have seen when I was co-hosting with Lester Cox, starting as at 2014 and forward, right? Mm-hmm. That he had on representatives from a subsidiary of Rev Group of Cable Bahamas, an analytics like unit, right? And they talked about a study that they did at the Marathon Prince Charles Highway intersection. And so I don't know if the cameras are still there. I don't know if the cameras are still operational. But they indicated that the government could generate like millions of dollars of revenue in a month if they actually enforced the number of offenses that were detected by the CCTV. You know, if they enforced penalties for the offenses that were detected by the CCTV camera in that limited area.
Hmm.
You've already mentioned CCTV, advanced CCTV technology in the document, right? You didn't mention drones, because we already have the drones.
We already have CCTV.
Right. So what do you mean by advanced resources, acquisition of advanced resources? And who are you training to operate those advanced resources? And who's assessing whether the use of these advanced resources in any way breach our constitutional rights?
The same people who is spearheading the drone. Whoever's driving and flying a drone around the Bahamas for the policing will be in charge of this.
See, I think the government has to figure out, right, how do you engage in policy and activity that the public doesn't necessarily need to know about in terms of your strategies, but at the same time, you have an obligation to report to the public what it is that you're doing.
Yes. Let's go to this caller, because I want to ask you to explain unexplained wealth. Because we have some politicians who have some unexplained wealth, and I want to know if he's just talking about people
known to the police?
Known to the police, or are he talking about the politicians also? But anyway, let's go to the callers. Go ahead, caller, can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Morning.
Mr. Nui, you know, I love this topic. I love what you just said. You know, you're a thinker. You was my boy, even though he's clowning me sometimes. But, you know, the thing is, you have to understand, people are afraid of these type of discussions, Mr. Nui. You understand that, right?
Yeah, man.
They just, the burden, it's just physical. If you have a block, the block at the bottom will always catch the most heat. So I want to share something that Kamal Nui was talking about this morning, gave me an idea. I think, I don't know if I listened to CLN, but it has to do with somebody saying the guys who are proliferating in crime. Let's say you have four or five murder charges, right, Mr. Nui?
Mm-hmm.
Or you have four or five rapes. Well, how could you be out there? You endangering me. I might kill you. What I'm saying is the rapist. Suppose he raped my child. The public have a right to be protected. So under the guise of public safety, a drunkard, right? With if he's inebriated, I mentioned the other day a lady fell asleep on the sidewalk in the June Junkaloo. She posed a problem to other people, and she endangered her lives. What I'm saying is, public safety is paramount. They had overridden public rights during the pandemic as a public safety, which is all BS. You know, and so when it comes to our rights as far as us living or dying, that's more important as far as our day-to-day movements, right? Now, we're looking at this, monitoring them, using algorithms to determine you're always in this area. That can be used to show you're affiliated with a gang also, because you in this area every day and you're doing this and you're doing that, right? Now, when we're looking at accessing, I don't agree with taking away the discretion of the magistrates, because then going to Supreme Court, the bail is about 10 to 15 grand. Maybe someone declared up so you could guess what's going on there. Mm-hmm. You understand me? And then this talk about crime lab. How long people was calling for crime lab when I was saying even as the introduction for the marijuana industry, we should have already had a gas chromatography or mass spectrometer machine. Right or wrong, Aaron?
Yes. It's 2024.
So, you know, we must listen to one another and stop all of this foolishness. You know, I can't agree. I mean, I wouldn't knock the PM for wanting to amend the bail act, but the caller juxtaposed what C.A. Nui and you had mentioned earlier as far as the speed in which the cases go through the court system. So all of these things interface with one another. So this is a whole chronology of problem here. It's not just an easy, quick fix like they said. I have no I'm no expert. I don't know anything about this. I'm just putting one and two together. So if the Constitution can be changed, right, Mr. Newey, via referendum, right, put it to the people. Them. They don't change some laws, implement the Nationality Act and other things. They can't gamble knock without the referendum. But if they carry it to the referendum, people would vote for people with proliferating crime, 4 or 5 murders, 3 murders, 2 murders, and it's a trend, the same type. You don't deserve no bail.
And
people might think I on the side of the police, you know. But then I only on the side of the police when they're willing to clean up their act, too. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I give credence where credence is due, Miss Green.
Yes.
When you come and criticize the police and you criticize the politician, they can feel the way all they want. You hear what Mr. Newey just said? Something that's very integral that Trinidad and Tobago has done. We need people to explain and document their wealth. Don't come tell the picky and they go, we are explaining wealth if you're not doing it. So how, you're not setting an example. But me, you want trample.
Yes,
huh?
Yes. 52.
Come on, man. We're living in this mess.
Thank you, 52. Blessings. Also, I think people understand bail. The question is, and I think the Commissioner of Police may have iterated it in a recent statement captured by one of the local papers. People are thinking, okay, you've been in jail for 2 to 3 years waiting on this case to come up. It's reasonable that you get bail. People are questioning, how are people getting bail in 2 to 3 months?
Yes. That's right? Different.
That, right. And I think that's the question that most people have. It's not that you don't deserve bail or there's no circumstance where bail is warranted, but our expectation is that bail would be granted in the instance of a serious offense because that person has been in jail so long on remand, so long, right, on remand, waiting for their case to come up, that it's become unreasonable that they could return to their normal life if they're found innocent.
Goes back to Swift Justice.
And so another question is this. Is the system itself a problem, like the jurisprudence, the legal theory, or is it that the costs associated with accessing these institutions are cost prohibitive? Because it appears to me now, after hearing 52, that the reason that magistrates were given the authority to grant bail is because the average person cannot afford to access the Supreme Court to be granted bail for that offense. And so are people's access to the mechanisms that support their rights being limited because of money? And they should never be limited because of money.
Let me be the devil advocate here, and then let's be going to get ready to take a commercial break there, producer, right? Are we questioning the competence of the magistrates when we say, hey, even though you suppose you learned and experienced to use your discretion on who should get bail. Clearly, you are not competent. Therefore, we need
no,
to
no,
put...
no. We're not ever going to question the competence.
So
not,
why
change
the law?
Not in the public domain. No, see, remember that's the KC who's talking about that. Me and you.
No,
not,
I can do it.
We ain't challenging. Even the one they say was living in the courthouse. That's the break music. I thought we was on a break.
Yeah.
Good morning.
On the break. Guided Radio AM with CA Newey, the best talk show in the Bahamas. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. In the last 15 minutes, not even 15 minutes. We have 8 minutes to go through what we need to go through, Aaron. I see the Prime Minister say he's going to improve on the school policing. Are we having crime in the school that we need to increase school policing? A good security firm can solve that. Some CCTVs, some strict rules where you say you suspended or you expel. You need to go to a different school because you're problematic. We need to have police
in schools 24 hours or 9 to 5?
Remember, they're not regular police.
What do you mean they're not regular
police? They're special trained police. These officers have been engaged in school resource training programs, right, locally and abroad. So they're not your typical police officer. Because then we say, oh, do we need police in schools? There's some police. Some police don't need to be in schools. The work that they do, they don't have the temperament to deal with young children. Because we expect young children to be rebellious. We expect them to be, what's the word, slick on their tongue. We expect them to talk to us bad. And a lot of police officers are under a tremendous amount of stress. And the type of work they do, it may be difficult for them to switch between modes. That's why you get community policing officers.
What these police officers will be doing inside school?
They will be, first of all, they'll be present. They'll be patrolling. They'll be available if issues arise. But they also are, because of their training, they are there to observe, to be able to prevent conflict from escalating.
We can't have those security officers do that. Like specialized security officers. I'm just saying, we have no training like that. Let's go to the caller because we can run out of time. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller,
yes, 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 I can. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question or two that I want to ask both you and Ms. Green. What was the amount of money that the government at the time said that they spent on drones?
It's like $1 million plus.
I think one point something million, at least, a minimum.
Okay, then begs me to ask, have anybody seen these drones in action? We hear that they exist, but have anybody seen any of these drones? Other than, I think about 5 years ago, they had a ZNet doing a news report with them at the roundabout flying one little thing overhead with my turn is flight sometime. What about these drones that they paid $1.7 million for?
I know, I referenced early in the conversation, we did not see a mention of the drones or how they would be used in the press statement from the Prime Minister. I'm looking at an article right here that says Royal Bahamas Defense Force drone signing contract, the 17th of December 2019. And so I wonder if we are expecting the police force to be operating the drones and it's actually the defense force that are using the drones in their operations.
That would make sense, actually.
But didn't both of them have some type of signing of drone?
Well, listen, it's the Minister of National Security, I think, who would have done the signing. I'm pulling up an article right now. Dames defends $17 million cost of drones.
What, 17? 1-7?
Yes. And this article is from Thursday, December 19th, 2019. Minister of National Security has defended the $17 million sum for the government's national drones program. I'm trying to see if we can see exactly where they're supposed to be used.
Well, $17 million is a vast difference from the $1.9 we assumed, or what you allege.
Well, listen, that's why I took the time to go and search it, sir. So we could try and get some real numbers because I can't imagine. And now $17 million, I think, was, here we go. On Monday, Dames signed a $17 million contract with California-based Swift Systems for a multi-agency drone program, he said, should lead to record-level crime reduction. So that $17 million would not be just the purchase of the drones. I imagine it would also be the purchase of the software, the installation of the software, the training of the people to use and operate the drones and the software, because they have different spaces and there are people who are drone operators, people who capture information, and then to create an agency and, provide initial salaries for the people to do this. Because we talk in quick, looking at this little article, I'm not sure if I can determine from this article, Dames defends $17 million cost of drones, you know, how many drones were to be used by the defense force and how many drones were to be used by the police force.
Also, to any training took place or any equipment was put in place to facilitate these drone flying applications. I think the news media keep dropping the ball in that regard. No one can account for these drones, other, like I said before, other than I saw some police officers flying on a little traffic drone over the highway, the roundabout the other day, saying they're flying drones.
I don't understand why, because I watch a police officer drive by in town with his phone in his hand, talking on his phone, so obvious. They ain't say nothing, but here's what to do. I just found this site. It's drone-laws.com, right? Drone-laws.com, and it says drone laws in the Bahamas, a summary of drone laws in the Bahamas. Hobbyist drone laws for residents of the Bahamas. That may give you some more information. And then check the Bahamas Civil Aviation Authority for more information to determine how the drones are being used and which agencies are operating them.
Well, that's that, Aaron. It's now 12 o'clock. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.